The plant disease sudden oak death has been present in the region for a while now, but its potential destruction has been limited by some careful management. In Oregon, sudden oak death is present only in Curry County on the south coast. If it spreads from there, the economic impacts will increase over time. The projections are laid out in a dollars and cents analysis. It is called simply sudden oak death economic impact assessment. It was ordered by and delivered to the Oregon Department of Forestry, ODF. We have with us Sarah Navarro, the ODF plant forest pathologist in Salem. Thanks for joining us today, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jeff.
So let's talk about the disease itself. How quickly, you know, obviously from the name, sudden oak death, you get one indication. How fast is the death of a tree that's been infected?
So from the time a tree becomes infected to death can take anywhere from 1 to 2 years. So in the lifespan of a tree, it is sudden, but in our sense, it does take a while.
All right, but as you point out, that's not terribly long in the life of a tree. I mean, but the issue here, for a lot of people, is that if you're inclined to think that just because it's called sudden oak death, it affects only oak trees, that's not necessarily true. It affects a lot of other plants, doesn't it?
Right. The host plant list for this disease is over 100 known species of plants that we have here in North America, and that's maintained by the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In our Oregon forest, we can see damage to rhododendron, salal, Douglas fir, and coastal redwood in our southern Oregon forest.
Well, but that, so Doug fir and redwood alone would make it a fairly sequential or consequential disease to be spreading out there. So, I mean, are we talking about the potential for landscapes covered with a lot of dead trees?
So the damage in Douglas fir and coastal redwood is not death like we see in tan oaks. It's what we see typically is tip dieback. So the new growth of these tree species has died, like the photo that you shared on your Jefferson Exchange website.
All right. Yeah, that was one of your photos. So you're probably well acquainted with it. So what does this do if it doesn't kill Douglas firs and the coastal redwoods? Does it just limit their growth potential greatly?
It could limit their growth greatly, because if they had repeated exposure to the disease, those tips would continue to die back. But with our disease management that we are currently undertaking in Curry County, we are removing those tan oaks, which are what are causing the spores that cause that tip dieback. So we're removing that disease from the area, so we're not having repeated exposure of Douglas fir and redwood on the landscape.
So at this point, is the disease only in Curry County, as we said?
The disease is only in Curry County forests. We do have the disease in some of our Oregon nurseries, and those are regulated and certified by the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and they have a robust sudden oak death program there.
So nurseries outside of Curry County, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, but they're under close watch, from what you're telling me.
They are under close watch. California also has 15 counties that are quarantined for this disease. And then there's also nurseries in California and some nurseries in Washington as well.
Is there something about the coastal climate that that encourages the growth of the pathogen that is sudden oak death?
There definitely is. So not only is the coastal climate conducive to tan oak, which is the driver of this disease in southern Oregon, also the wind and rain events that we get on our coast are what drive the disease to be spread across the landscape. So as I mentioned, this disease produces spores, and those spores are produced up in the canopies of tan oak, and they get moved to create new infestations through wind and rain events.
So how big is the infestation area? It's not all of Curry County, I gather.
It is not all of Curry County. So here in Oregon, we have a state quarantine for sudden oak death, which restricts the movement of host material. So it restricts the movement of tan oak, as well as requiring treatments on private and state-owned lands for this disease. And so right now, about 30% of Curry County is under that state quarantine. And since the introduction of sudden oak death in 2001, the disease has spread 8 miles to the east, mostly along the Checo River drainage, and then 18 miles to the north.
All right. And that seems to be a major issue with the report here, is the rate of spread and where it spreads to. The report, again, is called Sudden Oak Death Economic Impact Assessment, delivered to the Oregon Department of Forestry, where Sarah Navarro is a forest pathologist. I know we're trying to get a hold of Randy Weeds. We're having some issues with the phone system this morning, Sarah. So that's why you're on alone at the moment. And I want to let our listeners know they can join the conversation, too, at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So the report is not prepared by ODF, but for ODF, is that right?
That's correct. So we worked alongside the Sudden Oak Death Task Force, which was formed in 2016 and is co-convened by Representatives David Brock-Smith and Caddy McEwen. And the task force identified a need for a new economic assessment for sudden oak death. And so the ODF, we alongside the task force, put out a call for proposals, and we worked with two consulting companies out of Portland, Highland Economics and Mason Bruce Gerard, to conduct the assessment.
So did ODF give directions on the methodology to be used, or was that strictly up to the folks you hired?
That was mostly up to the folks we hired. We did, along with the Sudden Oak Death Task Force, we identified areas where we wanted information. So we wanted information on the economics if we continued the treatments as the Sudden Oak Death management as we're doing now, and then what would happen if we ceased management of the disease as well. And then we also directed the contractors to look at the non-timber impacts of sudden oak death. So what impacts is it having on real estate values in the area, cultural and tribal values in the area as well, and then wildfire risk. And so those are all compiled in the report.
Were there any things in the report in particular that surprised you?
I would say that the fact that there's been no economic impact so far was a little surprising to me. And then the potential for job loss and the loss in wages, that number was a surprise to me, just because as a forest pathologist, I don't think in economic terms too often. So it was surprising.
All right. Here's where we can let in Randy Weeze on a different line. ODF Forester in Curry County. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, along with Sarah Navarro.
Oh, no problem.
Is it Weeze or Wise, by the way?
Weeze.
Weeze, okay.
Although I answered anything remotely close.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. So you are on the ground in Curry County, and I wonder if you can give us a sense from up close about concerns about the economics of what's happening with sudden oak death as it moves.
Well, I know there's a lot of concerns with it hitting Coos County with what it's going to do with the port. That's the prime reason we're trying to slow it down. The treatments themselves can be fairly costly on a per acre basis.
What do the treatments look like, Randy? What do you have to do per acre to take out sudden oak death?
Well, the standard treatment is we would cut, lop up, pile, and burn the infected tan oak and all the tan oak within 300 foot under ideal circumstances. It can be, the effects vary based on the density of the tan oaks. So if you only have a few tan oaks, you may not notice a real drastic difference, all the way up to if your stand is nothing but tan oaks, it can be fairly severe.
There seems to be a priority here in keeping sudden oak death south of the Rogue River. Am I reading that correctly from the document?
Well, yes, ideally we do want to slow it up as much as possible and keep it within the current quarantine area.
Mm-hmm.
That's our prime goal.
All right, but it does seem to be a case of slowing up. Can it actually be held or checked, do you think, solidly at some perimeter and say that's it, no sudden oak death past this point?
Well, yeah, that's going to – we don't seem to be stopping it at the moment. So the official program goals are to slow the spread.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Navarro, how does sudden oak death pass from place to place? I know you mentioned the quarantine area, so why don't we talk about the kinds of things that happen in the quarantine area and how those are supposed to keep bits of sudden oak death pathogens from leaving that area?
Right. So the – the spread that Randy and I work with on a day-to-day basis is the tree-to-tree spread, or spread across the landscape from infected trees to infected trees. So it's those spores produced up in the canopy that get moved around by the wind, and so that's natural spread. We also have had multiple introductions of sudden oak death to our Oregon forest from infected nursery plants as well, or infected plant material, most likely from nurseries. And so that's another thing that the quarantine tries to stop as well. So spread of infected plants outside of the area, as well as trying to protect people from bringing in infected plant material as well. So it's really important that when you're buying new plants for landscaping projects that you're buying from a clean, reputable nursery.
How do you know it's a clean, reputable nursery?
The Oregon Department of Agriculture certifies nurseries here in Oregon, and they have a list of certified nurseries on their website. So it's a great resource to check before you go out and buy a whole bunch of new landscape plants.
Is there anything you'll see at the nursery in the way of an ODA certification, a sticker, label, placard, anything like that?
I don't believe so. I think it'd be something that you'd have to ask the nursery owner about.
Okay. Let's talk again about, you had mentioned, Randy Wees, about the issues with sudden oak death reaching Coos County, getting out of Curry County and into Coos County. That seems to be of greater concern. Is it just simply because there's more people, more industry, potentially more merchantable timber in Coos County?
A lot of it would relate to the export docks and in Coos Bay itself. Mm-hmm. So that's the prime driver for Coos Bay, would be at least my opinion.
All right. So what is the, are we talking about timber for export there?
Yes. Yeah.
And so what kind of numbers are we talking about here, either one of you, that the report indicates in terms of the potential for economic losses, either in ability to not sell material or in jobs lost because of the spread of sudden oak death, should it get that far north?
I'll take this one. So the report spells out what could happen if sudden oak death was to expand into Coos County. So sanctions could be placed on timber exports by China, Japan, and or Korea, any of which could result in the closure of the port. And if that was to happen, there would be a loss of 1,200 jobs related to that export market, which equates to about $58 million in annual wages lost as well.
Well, 1,200 jobs and $58 million in annual income not realized because of a sudden oak death potentially. And so this is set up, we're talking about it as an economic impact assessment. It looks rather like an environmental impact assessment. You had mentioned already, Sarah, some of the alternatives listed. A is continue the management in place now. B would be to stop management altogether. What is alternative C, though?
Alternative C is intensive management on the European strain of sudden oak death, which is actually what we're almost doing currently. So as I mentioned earlier, we've had multiple introductions of sudden oak death to our Oregon forest from infected plant material. One of those introductions is a different strain of the disease. So from 2001 to 2015, all of our sudden oak death infestations were of the North American strain, which is called NA1. And in 2015, Oregon State University and ODF identified a single infected tan oak with the European strain, or EU1. And so since then, we've been intensively managing for this EU1 strain in our Oregon forest. New research coming out of Oregon State University shows that the EU1 strain has the potential to produce a magnitude times more spores than the NA1 strain. And what's caused many people alarm for the European strain is in the United Kingdom, they have this disease and they have the European strain. And in their Japanese larch plantations, they see wide-scale mortality of not only the Japanese larch, but also they see mortality in Douglas fir, western hemlock, and Port Orford cedar grown within close proximity to those infected Japanese larch stands. And so that's caused a lot of people concerned for this new strain of the disease in our Oregon forests.
We have an email from Jason in Trail who asks, is it unusual for a pathogen to affect so many species? I'm not sure I've heard of that before. Also, what's the mechanism of the pathogen damage? How does it attack the trees and plants? Thank you from Jason in Trail. Can you take that one, Randy Weiss?
Well, Sarah might be better able to speak to that one, to be honest, as our pathologist.
Okay.
So it is a little unusual for a pathogen to have such a wide host range. Another invasive pathogen that we have in our Oregon forest, Port Orford cedar root disease, is also caused by a Phytophthora lateralis, and it's actually the sister species to the sudden oak death pathogen. And that one has one host, just Port Orford cedar in our Oregon forest. And so it's really interesting to see the differences there. And the mechanism that sudden oak death kills the tan oaks is those spores that are produced up in the canopy get washed down during rain events onto the trunk of the tree, and they then go into the bark and form these stem lesions that eventually girdle the tree and kill the inner layer of bark, which is what's used to transport water and sugars throughout the tree. And so it effectively kills the tree that way by girdling it.
So the trunk, not the roots like Phytophthora lateralis on the Port Orford cedars.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So as we move forward with looking at what's been listed here in this environmental, rather economic impact assessment, who makes the decision about which way to go, which alternative to choose, and how to move ahead?
That's a decision that's made by multiple agencies, as well as everyone on the sudden oak death task force, and then also depending on what money that we have available. And so as we continue on, Randy and I work together to set treatment priorities and work with our federal counterparts in both the Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Forest Service, who are also managing the disease on their lands, to set treatment priorities there.
So, Randy, just a few seconds left. Can you give us a sense of the concern about sudden oak death on that part of the coast?
Well, there's quite a bit of concern. I mean, obviously, with the timber industry, you have quite a number of concerned landowners also who small ranches, or even just people who call in saying, the tan oak in my front yard is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and take a look at it.
All right, so definitely some concern, and we've gotten the task force formed up already. Alex in the governor's office emailed and called to let us remind us that Senator Jeff Merkley, also a co-convener of the Sudden Oak Death Task Force, and what we have at the moment now is a report, the Sudden Oak Death Economic Impact Assessment, prepared by Mason, Bruce, and Gerard, and Highland Economics for the Oregon Department of Forestry, and that is where we find forest pathologist Sarah Navarro. She works in Salem, and forester Randy Weiss in Curry County. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you.